Good morning, everyone. I'm John Hockenberry with Jerome Vaughn from WDET, who's in for Adoree Adoji. You know, you might call it a parade of some insecure leaders and government officials from important allies around the world coming to the White House hoping to get maybe some confidence from Barack Obama to rub off on them. Taro Aso, the leader of Japan, will be at the White House today. But it's also a big diplomatic week for Pakistan and Afghanistan. The foreign ministers of both countries are in Washington meeting with officials. They have their own insecurities. They're meeting with the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton. And last night in his address before Congress, President Obama referred to Pakistan.
We will forge a new and comprehensive strategy for Afghanistan and Pakistan to defeat al-Qaeda and combat extremism.
Meanwhile, Pakistan's Foreign Minister Shah Mahmood Qureshi has optimism this week, too.
There's a willingness to work together, and I see a lot of hope in the new administration, the new leadership, and Pakistan is willing to work with the American administration to fight extremism and terrorism.
But there are some difficulties ahead. Pakistan's Foreign Minister Shah Mahmood Qureshi says his country and Afghanistan have achieved a new environment of trust that will help them, in theory, fight cross-border Islamic militants, and that would help them work together to combat cross-border attacks from Pakistan against U.S. and coalition troops into Afghanistan. But instability reigns in the region. For more, we turn to Owen Bennett-Jones, host of the BBC's NewsHour program. Owen is a former Islamabad correspondent for the BBC. When I spoke to Owen earlier this morning, I asked him how much pushback is possible on a controversial policy that allows the Taliban autonomy in the Swat Valley?
Is it possible to reverse that policy? I think it'll be very difficult. We've got the army who've clearly given the president of Pakistan the go-ahead to do this. The president doesn't seem in any mood to fight these militants. They've taken this valley. It is a very substantial victory for the, whatever you want to call them, let's say Taliban. And I think there will be more victories to come for the Taliban rather than any retrenchment by the army.
Is there any sense in which Pakistan can make the argument that this victory, as you call it, of the Islamists in the Swat Valley and other parts of the Northwest Territory will settle things down, that they have what they need, that they've acquired some elements of the agenda that they've been after for quite a while, and that some sort of coexistence is possible here?
They've taken the tribal areas, virtually all of them, one left to go really, Khyber, which they're going to take soon, I imagine. They've got the Swat Valley now. They've got areas around Peshawar. The police in Peshawar are basically reduced to guarding buildings now, and the outskirts of Peshawar are effectively in Taliban hands. And of course they will go on to try and win more territory and to try and win more control of the areas that have previously been under the control of the Pakistan government.
Politically in Islamabad, does this reflect badly on the civilian government more or the ability of the military to control its own territory?
To be fair, I think it is the whole establishment. I mean, you know, you can try and apportion blame to the military for not fighting harder in Swat. I mean, they had cleared the Valley of Swat. They had had a hard fought and with much loss of life. They had won control of Swat back in 2007. There was then a peace deal, which basically let the militants back in, and now they have won control. So, you know, you can say there was a lack of constancy from the army on that side, but equally the civilian government isn't providing any lead. The army quite reasonably says that it needs the support of the people if it's going to carry out these campaigns, and it doesn't have it, and that needs political leadership, which isn't there.
Cynics will say that the Pakistan government has possibly come up with another sort of argument for increasing to a massive level U.S. military aid to Pakistan. Whether it's strategically the right move or whether it is simply a pragmatic move on the part of Pakistan and its security forces and the military. Is that likely in any sort of near term to roll back the militants?
Is this a fundraising effort? No, I mean, I don't think you can go that far and say that, you know, in addition to the probably $20 billion that Pakistan has got since 9/11, that this is just a pitch to get more money. However, it will strengthen the arguments of those who say Pakistan needs more money. I mean, the fact is that the frontier corps that is fighting these battles is incapable of doing so. It doesn't have the equipment to do it. Now, whether the army can go to Washington and say, at the same time as it's buying F-16s and things, which seem to be aimed more at India than that these militants, whether it can say, look, we need more, is, you know, up to, for Washington to decide. But clearly, Pakistan is vulnerable. The militants are winning. And if that bothers Washington, then it will want to support the Pakistan army and the Pakistan government.
And there's also the question of territorial violations, as the U.S. Has its own campaign inside Afghanistan against al-Qaeda and militants there. I presume that a massive increase in aid will reduce the political sensitivity of those cross-border raids and the presence of U.S. forces actually inside Pakistani territory.
Not really. It's not a question of money. I mean, the Pakistanis don't want to think, the people don't want to think they've been bought off by American dollars. And the fact is they deeply resent these attacks on what is sovereign territory, unacknowledged really by the United States and even their own government. So that has led to fantastic levels of anti-Americanism within Pakistan. And I think whatever the financial arrangements are, it will continue to do so.
Well, then finally, what you're describing, and I gather this is the takeaway here, you're describing a situation where the U.S. essentially has no choice but to give more funds and to increase its aid to Pakistan, but in a situation that is likely to get more unstable rather than less. True?
From the Pakistani government side, if you talk to officials, if you talk to military officers, if you talk to the people, a lot of people in Pakistan are very worried about what's happening.
So is a clock ticking here? Is this something that could be contained for any sort of length of time?
Well, no. I mean, what I'm saying is that the prospects are very difficult, and it's not clear where this is going.
My guest was Owen Bennett-Jones. He's the host of BBC's NewsHour and spoke to us about diplomatic relations on the shaky Pakistan-Afghanistan border in an interview conducted earlier this morning. And now, Femi Oke is right here with the headlines.
Femi? Hi there. Good morning. Thanks, John. The time is just coming up to 28 minutes past the hour.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.